Hymn number 324 is what we'll start with. See, I didn't need to pick one. Hymn number 36. You need to stand for this one as well.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
That's like a victory song.
Yeah.
Well, you come ahead and move.
Turn tonight to the last two Psalms in the Bible, Psalm 149 and Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. That Israel rejoice to him that made him, that the children of Zion be joyful in their king, let them praise his name in the dance, let them sing praises unto him of the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify them equal salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory, let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, dishonour have all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord, praise God in the sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with string instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals, praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen.
And nowhere does it say to praise the Lord in tune. It just says praise the Lord. Amen. Just want to remind everybody of the announcements. Make sure you get one of those wee blue lists. If there's not one on your bench, there'll be one out in the wee prayer doodad out by the table with the tissues and the alcohol wipe. And we just want to specifically remind you that we won't be here on Thursday and Friday. And probably not up until Saturday dinner time. We'll be dropping my dad back home. We've got him trained up. We've got him back to fighting fitness, and we're just absolving ourselves of responsibility and leaving him in Portadown. We're going to leave him in Portadown and let Portadown look after him now for the next. No, we're not. We're just dropping him home. So please do pray for us as we travel. I also want to remind you about another wee lady in Portadown that you only know through her pies and the wheaten bread. That is Dorothy Cardwell. Haven't heard anything about how she is for a month or two, but she was quite ill with cancer last time we heard, a few months back. Please do remember that. Don't forget and pray for Esther, for Pat and Steve, and for Norman. Norman, I was speaking to him this evening. He was out walking the dog, and he's still coughing and spluttering a bit. So please do pray that he get over whatever it was that he had. It really, I think it floored him a bit for a day or two, but he is getting over that. So pray for Norman. Pray for Pat and Steve. Steve especially. I think diabetes is aggravating an injury he has to his foot, and it's taken a long time to heal. So please do pray about that. Esther's skin is continuing to clear up, which we're glad to hear of. Please do pray for her. She's still she's still living the life of many people. It's not shut in. What is it? Sheltering in place? Pardon? Shielding. That's what it is. So she's still shielding. I think you're still shielding too, technically, aren't you? technically. But please do pray about that. One of the other things that we haven't mentioned, or maybe you don't know about, is Will's granny. That's his mummy's mummy. Is scheduled, we hope, soon for surgery on her knees. Knees or knee?
Knee.
She was in for for blood tests. Was that Friday past or was it Friday before?
Friday before.
Goodness, the time flies.
And she had a kidney infection, so she got antibiotics, so she had to get tested tomorrow to see if that cleared.
Oh, goodness. So please do pray for Mary Ann. She hopefully will get that and get her mobility back again. And of course, we're not forgetting to pray for Will and Christine as well, in the light of John going home to heaven. So please do pray for them too. We all have our needs. I don't recall. I think it was maybe Christy or Will. Well, you were the only two guys that were praying this morning, apart from myself, that mentioned me recovering. I am doing a lot better. I think we've reckoned them up about 80+% at the moment, so I am coming around. I appreciate your prayers. That doesn't mean you stop. Just keep praying. I hope to get to 110%. That would be 10% better than what it was before I ended up in hospital. I could certainly live with that, so I do appreciate your prayers for that. Another one, I know we've mentioned Stephen and Anne Marie. They live in the house next door, and he's a landscape gardener. And I got my eyes open today whenever we were just walking up and down to the church, and he was out walking his horse, as you do when you're in the country. And I just asked him, for the sake of interest, how much it would cost to cut the grass in a place like this. And he said, well, to trim the hedges and cut the grass in his house would be in the region of £250 to £300. Now, he has a lot of grass. He has a lawn that's bigger than the front one at the back, and he has hedges around two-thirds of his property. And I would like just to say to the church, if we would just... He's doing this as a favour to me, because I haven't been up to cutting it. If we would even, like we did before, just give him a few pounds and thank him for his, and a wee card as well. And maybe a wee gadget that men like to have. Not a flick knife this time, mind you, but we can edit that out afterwards. But please do pray for his wife's dad. Is very ill. I think he has bad Alzheimer's, but he also has cancer. And he was actually bedbound for a while, but he is recovering from whatever it was kept him in the bed. The unfortunate thing is, he is now able to be up and about, but they can't bring him home because he would walk out and wouldn't have the sense even to stay off the road if something was coming. So please do pray for Anne-Marie's dad, for Stephen as well. And he's been very good to us, and we do appreciate him. He's a good neighbour to have, and we do appreciate him. Is there anything else we would need to be thinking about or praying for? Don't forget Ling and Frank. We do miss them when they're not here. They had a Chinese doctor virtual meeting this morning, and we didn't have their company. So we don't forget them either. We don't forget anybody. And just in case you hadn't noticed, don't forget to pray for Christie's soon-to-be significant other, Taylor Roth. You may have actually received an invitation, and there will be a picture of her there, so just in case you've forgotten what she looks like. Please do pray for her. Her mom and dad need to be saved, and she is working very, very hard trying to get herself through college or university without any debt. So it's a noble aspiration. And it takes a lot of work, and she is doing a lot of work. And of course, Lord willing, not weather permitting, but Lord willing, there will be a wedding in May. So she has all of that to do, plus she has the organising for that to do as well. Christy has a bit of organising to do, don't you, as well? Yours is done. You just have to turn up. You just have to turn up. There you go. I would advise a honeymoon to Ireland. It's so easy to get back home from it afterwards. Anyway, we're glad to have everybody here. I continually appreciate your prayers. I appreciate Christy. He keeps doing stuff to help me out. I am getting there. You'll soon be able to have a rest all Sunday. But whenever I went home today, I had to actually stop for a while after dinner and go up and lie down for an hour. I appreciate everything you do for me very, very much indeed, and have done this past year. So we're praying for you, brother. The purchase of the church land is going apace. We're still waiting to hear back from the Charity Commission. Please do pray about that. And somebody's in trouble. Please do remember to pray for each other as well. We had one private prayer request. If anybody has a private prayer request, you can stick up your hand and I'll write your name down. Don't need any details, but that's on this road. That is not good. That means someone has hit somebody. Maybe down at those bad turns. So please do pray for those folks too. Right. I think that's about that. Let's close our eyes. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll hand the meeting back to Christy again. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for watching over us and keeping us. For each soul that's here this evening, I pray your good hand upon each one of us, Lord. You know what's going on in our hearts and minds. And you know, Lord, exactly what it is that we need. And I pray you, Lord, that no matter what it is, even though Christy, to the best of my knowledge, is speaking from the book of Acts, that you would take and use him this evening to minister to each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for those that have private prayer requests. You know what those are too, Lord. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would grant them according to your will. Father, I know sometimes it seems like we're little children wandering around looking up at all the flashing lights and the things that's going on, and we don't have half a clue about what we're supposed to be doing. Lord, please, put it upon our hearts. Remind us continually about keeping our eyes upon you, upon stirring up the gift that is in us, Lord, the salvation, the Holy Spirit, with the reading of the scriptures, with the lifting up of our songs. I pray especially for Stephen and Anne-Marie and Anne-Marie's dad. I pray for wisdom and strength for them. I pray you too, Lord, for the folks down at the far end of Maboy Road, Carol and Harry and Marie, for Noel and Joan and their son Norman, for that man Norman that walks up and down the Maboy Road as well, for that wee woman Dorothy Cardwell in Portadown, for Jane and Corey. Lord, for us as we travel this coming week, Lord, for Christine and Will, and for David and Naomi and their families as they mourn and grieve over their dad. Please, Lord, just give us what we need. Please put your good hand upon all those men that stand to bring the message from God to the people that's assembled to hear it. Please bless Christy. Please open his mouth. Please give him boldness in the words to say. Please bring scriptures to his mind, Lord. Please give us what we need tonight. Father, we love you and praise you. And for anybody that wasn't mentioned, Lord, like Pearl or Alan Leslie or Sammy and Kate especially, Lord, please work in their lives too. Please save Sammy, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. Be with Pat and Steve and Norman. Lift them up and touch their bodies. And I pray the same for Esther, for help for Rita's family, and Lord, for Leonard and his family too. There are so many prayer requests, Lord. We pray all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Next favourite from anyone?
325.
325.
I think we should nominate what was our song maybe.
It's leaning that way. It's leaning that way. 325. I hope you weren't reading ahead, Will, and trying to get a hymn that lines up. An axe.
What's up?
I don't need to.
Oh, shit.
I was just waiting to say that.
It's good when that happens.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory! lives with us still, and with all her will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow
was making an announcement that those aren't invites, but you are all invited, just in case Taylor listens there. Just a heads up, I guess. And Christine, in case Will didn't tell you, your name was on that envelope as well. That's okay, because if I had got one like that, I'd just put it in the fridge and don't tell Nana. So. Not on purpose, I just put it there expecting, I don't know what I'm expecting, but anyway, before I get myself in more trouble, I guess I can embarrass myself a bit then now as well. So I'm not only wearing a pink shirt today, I'm also wearing ladies' deodorant. I ran out of deodorant last night, so I had to use Dennis. So, yep. So that's why I smell a bit extra of aftershave, because I spray more to cover it up. But I'm sure you'd rather me smelling like a girl than smelling of body odour, so that'll be all right. So I am comfortable enough. Anyway, I think front bench is the next choice. Anyone got a hymn? Mm-hmm. Moving on swiftly. Come on, John.
What about 192?
Ring the bells.
Ring the bells.
You can edit that out.
works.
Got that was in Katie Taylor's book for them.
Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meets him out upon the way, welcoming his weary, wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the light hearts ring. 'Tis the ransomed army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free. Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today, for the wanderer now is reconciled. Yes, a soul is rescued from his sinful way, and is born anew a ransomed child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the light hearts ring. 'Tis the ransomed army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free. Ring the bells of heaven, spread the feast today. Angels swell the glad triumphant strain. Tell the joyful tidings, bear it far away, for a precious soul is born again. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the light hearts ring. 'Tis the ransomed army like a mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
And you can put your hymn books away, and we're continuing in the book of Acts since beginning of chapter 8 tonight. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 is our text tonight. Just while we're on the topic of a church, this isn't new for this church. You have everything all but a woman at the front of the church here leading tonight. Someone in the colour of a woman and the smell of a woman, but the sound of a man. So we're coming into the 21st century. I thought after giving out a bit of stick I needed to confess something, so that was yes. Just along those lines. Anyway, a bit more seriously, Acts chapter 8 verse number 1 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city." Amen. Our topic for tonight is the scattered church. The scattered church. Will, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Yes, Father, thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for every head that's covered and every heart that's represented tonight, both from this church and all the churches for the land of Christ, and Christ Christ crucified. And we've got a same master, our pastor, to the front of the church, Lord, preaching as well, Lord. Give the Holy Spirit to those that our prison tonight, Lord, for the world, Lord. Give a touch of spur, Lord, and use the coal of fire, Lord. Tongues of coal of fire, Lord, and use it to reach us, Lord, and to touch our hearts, Lord, and to educate us and to exhort to us, Lord, and maybe to chastise us also, Lord, as in our feelings, and Lord, and bring us closer to Thee and draw us nearer, as the hymn says, Lord, bring us nearer, closer to Thee, Lord. With us today, Lord, with Christy, Lord, give us a spirit, Lord, give those people who can make a light, bring them into the house next point in time, can join us and bless them also, Lord, and be with us as we go on to join a new week, Lord, that you may use us, Lord, mightily for Thy work in our own lives and to lose our loss for the land and our daily encounters, Lord. With us today, for Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Scattered church, and just as I always start, I start with a brief overview of the previous message, which was the study, which was the martyred church, where we've seen Stephen became the first follower of Jesus to be martyred for the church, and we looked down the corridors of history and gave a few examples of some of the lines of blood that have, or the seeds of blood that have been planted on this flower known as the church. That is, this church is no stranger to martyrs. Not only the Baptists, but all churches, all religions, but mainly the Baptists was their focus. One man even said that had the Baptists not been so persecuted, they would have far outweighed the reformers. But this passage is a clear example of God, as God's ability to take trials and turn it into triumphs. We see here as the chapter opens, we see Saul consenting unto his death. And what's it mean by consenting? It not only means allowing, it means taking pleasure in. That was Saul's attitude towards the death of Stephen. And not only Stephen, but anyone who professed the name of Jesus. There is one portion, I believe it's in Philippians 3 and verse 6, where Paul says, as touching zeal, persecuting the church, he had such a zeal for his religion that he thought he was doing the work of God by persecuting God's people. We witness the death of Stephen here, and as if that wasn't a big enough blow, it goes on to say that a great persecution arose against the church. See, not only now at this point was the disciples being targeted, the apostles, but all the followers of the church and the early church and of Jesus. We've seen through the persecution that the church was scattered abroad. And this, almost to this point, the church of Jerusalem was reluctant to move throughout the borders of Jerusalem. But if we go back to, I believe it's in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you'll be a witness unto me in Jerusalem and throughout all the borders of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This was a fulfillment of that prophecy, of that piece of scripture, or that charge that God led or said. And it came about not through people willing to go, but people having to go through persecution. You see, there is an old saying of a preacher, I believe it was Vance Havner, said, just like it says on a medicine bottle, shake well before use. Sometimes God shakes us out of our comfort zone before he can use us. They were comfortable in Jerusalem, and that's understandable when you first join a church. You know, you want to be by those believers who have more experience than you, and you want to glean from them every portion of wisdom that you can. You feel strong in number. You know that you haven't learned all that you need to learn. So to be out on your own then is almost, it's a scary thought. So it's understandable in a way, but God provides. Saul and his company, this Sanhedrin, they hated what Stephen said to them. They hated it so much, and it hit the target so much that they not only killed Stephen, but they went after anyone who was along the same lines and along the same beliefs as Stephen was. Later, as Saul the oppressor became Paul the apostle, this is what he said about the church and his persecution of it. In Acts 22 and verse 4, he says, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He didn't stop at men. Many of the persecutions of the church have been just the men. You know, people normally have a bit of empathy and sympathy with the women and don't shed any violence to them. But not Saul the oppressor. He was all out. He was going all out just to destroy this church, to bring it to its knees and to stop it. And the very act that they thought would do that was to scatter them abroad. But actually, in reality, God takes the wisdom of men and makes it look foolish. What they actually did was they allowed the church to grow outside the borders of Jerusalem. What they should have done, in a worldly sense, it doesn't make sense. In a worldly sense, that's a lot of sense for a lack of sense. Mm-hmm. But from a worldly perspective, what they should have done was gathered around them and kept them in the borders of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Don't let them spread. Don't let them go and teach anyone else. Yes, they might have spread and taught all the way through Jerusalem, but keep them in. So they thought, in a sense here, by scattering the church, that they were making it disappear. But in actual fact, the word scatter used here in the Greek word, it has two meanings. One is to make things disappear, for example, scattering someone's ashes. Mm-hmm. But the sense that it's used and the tense that it's used in here, in fact, means scattering like sowing seeds and planting seeds. You see, God seen that they would have been scattered abroad and chased out and for fear and for torment that was coming to them. Saul went in and out of every house, this portion tells us. And for fear of what would happen to their families, men got up, left all their possessions behind, and went forth into Judea and Samaria. But they didn't just go cowering. Yes, they were afraid, but they didn't close their mouths. And these weren't professional preachers, so to speak. These weren't all men that was called full-time into the ministry. They were dedicated full-time to the ministry, but they weren't professional preachers. Let's just call them that. They were more, I would call them, accidental missionaries. They were men and women who went about telling of what good Jesus and the apostles done for them, through them, to them, the words that were spoken to them, and the changes they had seen God wrought in people's lives. You see, people can deny the Bible, and people can deny the doctrines of the church, but what people can't deny is what God does for you and I. They can't deny what we used to be and what we are now. They can't deny all those prayers that we had answered. They can put it down to coincidence, but that'll only happen so often. There's only so many coincidence or good luck streams that people can get. But soon, if we stay the course and we allow God to keep working, they can't deny it. This portion tells us, except the apostles, they were all scattered, but the apostles stayed. And I like verse 2. It says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And I think this was Luke's way of reminding the church of that day that not all the Jews were enemies of Christianity. Not all the Jews hated them. There was some devout men there that cared for Stephen, that disagreed with his death, that were even sickened by how he was treated and killed. Because they made great lamentation over him. And there is, looking further than just the words that's there, reading between the lines, there's a great lesson for each of us there. These people, these Jews, these men, maybe some Christians as well, just before they got scattered, had a great mourning over the death of Stephen. And one man said it like this, I want to live in a way so that my children will mourn over my dying rather than my living. What we see today is Christians living in a way that's causing people to mourn. Death causes us all to mourn. But I see children and families mourning at how mothers and fathers are behaving. I see children brought up in a home where it's caused them to mourn what their mothers and fathers are involved in. And it's a shame. There's a lack of love, a lack of care. There's a lack of guidance spiritually. There's a lack of any wisdom at all on the part of the parents. People need church. People need us, as we are scattered out into our worlds, to carry the church with us. That's what these men did, these men and women and these families. They went about spreading the good news of the gospel. You go on then in verse number 3. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. And what I think of there is like an army destroying a city when I hear the word havoc. Complete destruction. Going about with fury, with anger, just causing any trouble that you can cause. Either like an army destroying a city or a ravening animal pulling at its meat. Just looking destruction in all its ways. He didn't stop at the church, at the temples. He didn't stop in the public gatherings. He went into every house.
Mm-hmm.
Hauling men and women and committing them to prison. Saul went home happy when there was Christians put behind bars. Saul went home thinking it was a good day at work when there was Christians locked up and bound. When the handcuffs got put on people of the church, Saul thought that was a productive day. Goes on and here's more good news. See, the trial in this chapter is from verses 1 to 4. Sorry, 1 to 3. Verses 4 through 8 is the triumph. And it's some good news. It says, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. It means everywhere they went, every situation they faced, there was a word from God on their lips. And I know today we're restrained in our sharing of the gospel. We're restrained in what people will think about us if we share that little word of testimony. If we share that little bit of experience, you know, it should be the Spirit of God constraining us and the love of God constraining us to do things, not constraining us from doing things. But we have taken what people's opinions are, and that matters more to us than our standing with God. But whether they were in Judea, Samaria, or beyond the borders of these countries, this was the first time that the word of God moved outside the borders of Jerusalem at this stage and been accepted, I should say, because Jesus went into Samaria as well. But God certainly can and does use the turbulent times in our lives to draw us and guide us into the path that is his will. And it's there that Christians truly are triumphant. Trust and obey had a line in it. To be happy in Jesus, trust and obey. When we're not in accordance and in line with God's word and his standards, there's that spirit in us that's saying, what are you doing? You're a Christian. You know that you're doing damage here. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be saying that. And if that's not in you, either you've gone so far down the line that you have salved your conscience, you have seared it with a hot iron, as the Bible says, or you're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
One or two, that's all. Either you're so far backslidden or not saved. Either way, if you're not saved, God will save you today. If you're backslidden, God's arm is outstretched still. There's still room and there's still time for another soul to be on the path of God's will. Think of all the victories that we have gotten as a church, as individuals, as a group. Maybe some people in the church have gotten victories more recent than others. Who knows? But think of them, and if you weren't on that right path where God would have you, you wouldn't have gotten them. You wouldn't have gotten them. Goes on in verse number 5. It says, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. This isn't Philip the apostle. This is Philip who was introduced in the same course of Stephen in Acts 6 and verse 5. He went down there into Samaria. And there wasn't no fancy words. It just says he just preached Christ. He had told them that the Messiah had been, that he had been put on the cross and crucified. And in verse number 6, what about this? This is the first time I have seen, actually it's the second time I have seen a non-church be in one accord. The first time we had seen last week where they were in one accord charging at Stephen to kill him. This week we see them in one accord hearing and giving heed unto those things that Philip spake through the Holy Ghost to them. But I like what it says and ends in. It says, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Why did they accept it? One, they accepted the words because it was powerful preaching. It was from the word of God. It was about Jesus. But number two, it was backed up with things. It wasn't just plain empty words. God confirmed it with miracles. You say, yeah, but we can't do that today. But yes, we can. We can allow God to work in our lives and back up our words. Words are empty to most people. I'll be honest, today I don't use the word brother because that's empty to me. You know, I've seen too many Christians use the word brother and sister, and they don't act one iota like a Christian should act. So I would rather show each one of you that you're my brother and sister rather than use that word, because that word is empty. You know, I see lost people using that today because they've seen how Christians do use it and should use it. They've seen it in the right sense. But I've seen it from within the church when it's used empty. And it takes all joy out of the thought of even using that word. So I made a conscious decision a number of years ago when I had seen people who I thought had been pillars in the church for years use that word and just go completely off the rails. I said, I won't use them words. I'll show people, but I won't use the words. Doesn't mean I don't think that you're my brother and sister in Christ. I do, and I hope you know that I treat you all. I hope I do treat you all like it. But words are empty, and words fall on flat ears when there's no backing up of the words. You can sit in the church, but people know what you're like outside of the church. You know, we can sit in the church and hold back our profanity. But once we go out into the world and we let loose with that profanity, people know that you're just sitting empty in church. You're putting up an appearance. And you're not fooling God, you're fooling yourself. Sorry, we're fooling ourselves. It's not worth it. Living a double life, it is not worth it. Have I been there? Absolutely. When I was out of church, I knew that I should be in church. I knew that Jesus was coming again. My young spiritual mind always thought, once you see the Antichrist, it's time to get back into church. But no, that's too late. But even as a young teenager, out of church, with all the friends and popularity around me, when I went to bed at night, that's when the Spirit went to work. Saying, you're living a double life. Your life, yes, you have all these friends, but it's empty. You know that these people need saved, but you can't tell them because of what you're involved in and what you're doing. You're acting just like they are, and they'll see no difference. So yes, if you want your family and friends to go to hell, albeit, live a double life. But that's the exact result that's going to happen from it. And you can claim the name of Christian, and you can claim the name of Bethel Baptist Church, but it'll mean nothing to the people that know us. You know, the people that see us just when the reins are off, when the bit's not in the mouth, just like the horse. God's plan has always been to spread his word to more than just Jerusalem. Jerusalem was just the first seed being planted. It was where the apostles had been prepared and spent time with Jesus. And even after Jesus had gone, it's where they were waiting and received the Holy Ghost. But God used this persecution to accomplish his will. And some people, when this persecution happened, I'm sure thought, this is us finished. God's done with us, with all this violence that's coming to us, with all these threats, with all of our brethren being cast into prison. But can I tell you today, just because bad things are happening in your life doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. God could be using those turbulent times to get you turned around where you need to be. Just to take you off that path that you're on and place you on the path just to the left or just to the right. You're aiming in the right direction, but your steps aren't there yet, maybe. And God uses these times to get us where he wants us to be and needs us to be. The violence and threats didn't stop them, it strengthened them. You see, this chapter opened with great persecution, but it ends in great joy. It was all for the glory of God in the end of. They thought they were going to disperse this church and make it disappear, but in fact, they just strengthened it. They just gave more joy to the Christians. It says in verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. They had heard the words of Jesus Christ and they were joyful. And that's another big problem in our church today. We've lost our joy. We've let the devil steal our joy from us. You know, we get annoyed at the littlest of things. You know, someone didn't say such a thing, or someone didn't acknowledge me for doing that, or I have to do everything around this building. And we just let that come in between us and the joy of Christianity and the joy of our walk with God. And that's a shame. Actually, you know, I said the devil, we've let the devil steal it from. No, we haven't. We're giving the devil too much credit. We've done that ourselves. We've done that ourselves. Because we've become petty. We aren't of one accord any longer. And I think I banged about this, banged on about being in one accord about 80% of the time being up here. It's so important. It's so important. All pointing in the same direction. It says you're of one faith, one hope, and one calling. We're all in one body, Ephesians 4. Don't devour and bite one another, it says elsewhere in the Bible as well. Does it mean that you won't be hurt? Absolutely not. People will just accidentally hurt you or on purpose. I don't know. You can't judge the intent of someone. What you can do is get on your hands and knees and pray and let it go. Have I been hurt in church before? Yes. Was intentional? I don't think so. What did I do about it? I prayed about it and God took it away. It's as simple as that. There are times where you don't have to voice your frustration. There are times where just let God take it away and say, Lord, just help me be a blessing to that person. Mm-hmm. And you'll see a difference. You'll see the church growing. You'll see your bond to the church growing as well. And your joy will grow. See, we count our worldly possessions worth far more than we do our spiritual possessions. And even today, there was part of me thinking, there's an afternoon gone of preparing. But the Lord said, it might be gone now, but it's stored up in heaven. Mm-hmm. That's your treasure stored up for a later date. Just because you can't do work today and get the rewards of doing work today, the spiritual work stored up. Your heart's where your treasure is. And I'm afraid most of us have all our treasures here. Just like the world. You know, we've invested so much. That's, in my opinion, and this is purely my opinion, that's because we've got so much into looking what everyone else has. And coveting after it. And we've started living beyond our means. Wanting to fit in with the world and all that they have. But we're called to be peculiar. If your life is scattered today, God can take it and change it. Maybe God has it scattered for a reason. But it's always been, and through actual see, as we've seen, it's always been the mantra of the church to divide and conquer. Yes, there is a time for being together and for unity and for strengthening one another and ministering to one another. But as we separate, divide and evangelize, divide and convert, divide and preach. And when we do that, the church will grow. We'll truly scatter seeds and God will bring forth the increase. Amen. Anyone? Christine, I think you were looking at a hymn or your choice is up. You're told what you're picking.
Number one.
Let's stand as we're singing number one in the black room.
Consider all the world's thy hands. Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with sign of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bind in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul,
standing for a word of prayer. And Mark, would you lead us?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the message that you gave to Christy this evening, for each soul that's out here tonight, for our prayer requests and petitions, maybe even silently offered up as Christy brought us the message. Lord, for a little bit of time that we can take and look introspectively at our own lives and just see, Lord, if we really are where we would like to be with you. Please, Father, don't be done with us. Please take time with us, Lord. Please, I pray, as you look at us, please find hearts that are ready and willing to grow, no matter what our age, and to be the person, the Christian, the son of the Most High God that you know we can be. Just thank you, Father, for this day and for the messages, for the prayers, for the Bible readings, for the petitions, for the prayers, for the tithes and the offerings. Brothers and sisters in Christ that have been able to be one of our number. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind us as the week goes on about all the things that we have heard here, just as and when we need. Bless us as we part company, Father. Bless Christy for his faithfulness and continuing to preach the gospel. And, oh Lord, it's nice to hear good things, and sometimes we need a wee bit of straightening, and we need a wee bit of chastening, or just reminding of what we should and shouldn't be doing. Bless him, Lord, and keep him as he labors and works outside of the church from his PhD and, Lord, in gathering information for the government and for folks on health issues. Bless us all, Lord, and see us safely home, I pray. And I ask this, of course, your private prayer requests in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen. Amen.